Actually, I'm on my way to pick you up.
Okay, great. I'm waiting for you.
See you then. Bye.
Go on, Chris.
Don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Don't forget to shovel if you want to go to work. Are you Linda, but you came from like the rest of us, so... Don't forget your shoes and socks and shut the tie and all. Don't forget your shoes and socks and shut the tie and all. Don't forget your shoes and socks and shut the tie and all. Mr. Muffin's afraid to make a claim if you take a fall. Now, well, if you want to do it, don't you do it against the wall. If you want to do it, don't you do it against the wall. If you want to do it, don't you do it against the wall.
Hey, this is Dan Harmon, creator of Rick and Morty, and you're listening to the Bad Guys Pod. It's about baseball, but it's also probably fine.
It is.
Welcome to the Bad Guys Pod. This is Link.
I'm Will, and Dion Waiters had some edibles.
He had some good shit, man. I can't believe that they actually released what happened.
I haven't even... Okay, so I haven't... So I was watching the title match of the AEW All Gear, was it?
Full Gear, yeah.
Yeah, and you sent me that article. I have not read it yet, but now I think I'm going to have to at least pull it up. What did he have specifically?
He had... THC-infused edibles on a flight.
Oh, he had gummies.
Yeah, probably. And then just had a panic attack.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm seeing it here. It was gummies. And, like, of course, because you're only supposed to have, like, one or two of those shits, but... Dude, he actually, it says he suffered a seizure, which is slightly less funny.
No, I just read it, he had a panic attack.
Oh, yeah, no, it says, overdosed on gummies and was passed out when the plane landed. He had a seizure and was finally, it took a while for him to wake up.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably because he ate them like regular gummy bears.
He had to have. I mean, like, how many edibles do you have to eat to get a seat?
I only recently had one, you know, because I don't really partake so much anymore. I don't know. This is sort of new territory for conversations, I think, for the pod. But I don't really partake in that stuff too much. But I will say I had a gummy, it was about a couple months ago, and I had one, and it knocked me on my fucking ass for a good 24 hours.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I had a gummy, though.
Yeah.
Oon gummy.
Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah. It'll destroys your stomach, and then you, like, can't function for, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
But if you're a professional basketball player...
And you're, like... I am imagining this dude probably, like, had a fistful of them, because, like, to get a seizure? Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, like... Oh, God... He was all, wasn't he also suspended this? Yeah, he was suspended for the season opener for conduct detrimental to the team.
Hmm. I'm trying to remember, like, I mean, first off, I don't know what the league's NBA's policy is on marijuana, because I know, like,
I don't think they test for it.
It's been a hot conversation in other leagues.
Yeah, I know the NBA. I know the NHL does not test for recreational drugs, so cocaine and weed are not tested for.
Right, which is also now, and I haven't read the story.
A problem.
Well, yeah, it's become a problem. I haven't read the Athletic story, but I've been bookmarked. I have it bookmarked as the one where cocaine and Molly use has gone up significantly in the NHL and hasn't really been talked about it.
I feel like having a guy with sharp blades on his feet rolling on Molly isn't a great idea.
Well, I don't think this is like in-game use per se.
How do you know?
I mean, I don't know, dude. I watch a lot of Brian Strait, so anything goes, like.
You know, man, like, fucking, if God is bear.
I've watched a lot of bottom line defensemen on the Islanders in the mid-2000s knock pucks off of their teammates' shin guards into their own nets before. So, you know, that's like, I guess I could see it as a possibility. Can't rule it out.
I mean, you know, if, you know, Adam Fox wants to just roll on some Molly for the third period, you know, let him do it, you know? God. I know the Rangers lost today, too, which is not great.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you know, the pros would be, of course, if you limit the use of drug use and recreational drug use in the NHL, is that you're not encouraging, you know, younger children to be using drugs. And the con is stop being a fucking narc, you know? Let the kids play. Let the kids play, Liam.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Also, Mike Francesa just tweeted out, I hope Barkley is hurt because he's playing terrible football.
Happy trails to Mike Francesa again. He will be...
Oh, so we never discussed that.
Oh, man. We'll have Jared on the second half, but we already recorded his segment, and fuck us for not bringing up Francesa.
I have to text him now. We didn't talk about Fartgate.
We didn't. I did message our friend David Roth about it, and he, let me find the quote, but he basically said something along the lines is like, that story came out a week after Deadspin folded, and David Roth's response was, this is literally the story I've like been waiting for my entire life. Hey there. Oh, well, then we'll be back.
No, I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah, don't worry. I just had to Google something. I didn't want to tap in your ear.
Oh, you had to Google Fartgate, right? I know.
There were a couple things I had to Google. Let's see. I'm trying to think of like everything else that happened. Terry Collins was rumored as being a bench coach, and then he wasn't, I guess.
Let's plan out the agenda on air. Let's do this.
Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, it's nothing we haven't done before.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Jeremy Hefner is to interview, which is like extremely my brand.
I completely forgot that like Jeremy Hefner only played two seasons at this point, because I think just given this, like, he at one point had the status of like dude that was basically slotted in for like long-term spot in the rotation for the Mets, and like I think he went out with whatever injury he did and never came back from it.
And it's really funny because what do you think his career war was?
I saw it this morning, so I am a little biased, but it was like negative 1 point something.
Yes, it was. Which, you know, like, it's just funny that, like, he was the one that, like, everybody scheduled in for the rotation.
Right, but it was basically, like, it was a slow build to him, like, kind of figuring some stuff out, and then he got hurt. And then the Mets fucked him over somehow. I think that's, I mean, it's basically the story arc of every, like, Mets, like... fringe pitcher. Was it?
Did the Mets fuck him over?
God, wasn't there something where like they fucked up his rehab, or, and this is again shit we should have brought up to Jared before.
I'll Google real quick. I think he just had Tommy John, and then he just got Tommy John again.
Yeah, I think it was just a matter of like they let him go.
Yeah, no, it was 2013, he got Tommy John, then he was non-tendered, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
He was re-signed to a one-year contract, and then he got Tommy John again in 2014. And then came back, went to AAA, had a high ERA and then just kind of retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to have him back, you know? I've always followed him on Twitter.
What's, like, does he have a deal? Like, what's his deal, I guess?
What do you mean, what's his deal?
I mean, like, has he been doing anything? Like, oh, coaching career, here we go.
He worked with the Twins.
Yes, it says here, he's an advanced scout. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Like, in the realm of, like, former Mets pitchers, it's like, you know, I guess we were kind of scheduled to go from Frank Viola to Jeremy Hefner in the span of, you know, 5-7 years, right?
Frank Viola was never the pitching coach, though.
No, he was.
No.
Or am I mixing up somebody? Hold on a second. No, remember he had the heart surgery? Or I'm sorry, maybe it was with the 51s.
Yeah, no, he was with the 51s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was always the... Because they interviewed him for it and didn't give him the job.
Right, okay. I met Frank Viola the day before he got his heart surgery.
That's a weird meeting.
Yeah, it was at my job. And, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
But nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I need to text Jarrett now. I had to clean up my house today. I'm trying to think what else would be on the agenda.
Sandy Alderson is buying subscriptions to the New York Times for a library.
You know he's like clearly like a Bill Clinton Democrat, right?
Is just saying Bill Clinton Democrat problematic in 2019?
No.
Late 2019?
Nah.
Late.
We all know what that is.
Yep.
Donnie Hart, what? Oh, right, yeah. I'm trying to, like, think of shit. But there's nothing else really out there. It's just, like, stupid Mets news. How's life with the Knicks?
I've watched the first three games, and I really haven't tuned in since then. Mostly because I'm watching a lot of Islanders, and, you know, I don't know, going to school and shit. But the Islanders are on a 12-game point streak. They had a 10-game win streak. Of course, I went to the one game that they didn't win in that streak, where they lost in overtime to the Penguins. This team's good. But it's really, like, the crazy thing is, like, their biggest star is Barry Trotz.
That's a weird one.
Yeah. And, like, there's not too many teams at this point that, like, you could say that about. But, like, literally, when I say Barry Trotz is, like, the biggest star on that team, it's mostly just because, like, I think it's, like, everybody pretty much acknowledges at this point that, like, there's obviously some really big shining stars in this team. And, like, Matt Barzal is proving himself to be a top 10 center in the league, I think, this year. But, yeah, I think everybody's sort of acknowledging the fact that, like, the sum of its parts... the sum of its parts are greater than those parts individually because of Barry Trotz.
Mm-hmm. What do we think of, speaking of the sum of the parts, I'm going to translate. I guess you'll do the NHL and I'll do the NBA and we can do a tete-a-tete on that. We can catch each other up.
Sure.
Because I'd like to point out that the LA Lakers are 7-1 in terms of the sum of their parts are better than what they are. Are they good?
I mean, when your parts include Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Is this like the first year the Western Conference is worse than the Eastern Conference in like the past 5 years?
I think it's a little early to call that one.
I mean, just with the way the Golden State Warriors look.
Right, but they were kind of due for regression.
Sure, but like they were clearly the best team in the league, and now do you think the LA Lakers are the best team in the league? I don't know about that one.
It is, you know, if you're a fan of another team in that in the West, I think like the thing with the trend with LeBron teams, and I know I'm not really touching on Anthony Davis in this, but it's sort of like the anecdote is that, you know, every time LeBron goes to a new team, it takes that team a while to function and like figure out a system. And like the fact that they're looking this good now, and they're 8 games into the season is kind of scary. Anthony Davis is really fucking good at basketball, so that part of it shouldn't really surprise me. So,
sure, but like, would you say they're better than?
The Clippers should.
Who's the best team in the East? Is the better question I should ask.
What's the answer you want me to say, Liam? Do you want me to say the Sixers? Because I'm going to say the Bucks.
Honestly, go with whoever, because it might still be the Raptors, man.
Could.
Pascal Siakam's averaging like 28 points a game now.
Yeah. I'd say the Bucks are probably in that conversation.
Sure. I think they got worse, though.
Yeah.
Because who left? What's his name? Spanish guy. They replaced him with Brook Lopez, but it was
Gasol?
Yeah, Gasol left. Yeah, they replaced him with Brook Lopez, which is like kind of a clear downgrade.
Yeah, 2019.
Dude, their top three are Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe. I mean, it's good, but like,
right.
Giannis is clearly far and away the best player on that team.
Yeah. I mean, he's by far the... I mean, would you go as far as to say that he's the best player in the East right now?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I mean...
I probably would say that's most likely the...
He has no three, man. He's got no three.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he's shooting, like, maybe 30% from three.
Hmm.
I mean, fully healthy, are the Nets the best team?
I mean, probably absolutely, but also like what is fully healthy for Kevin Durant at this point? And I don't think Kevin Durant's like, you know, in any way penciled in to play this year. So it kind of like puts him at least out of the conversation for.
No, he's out for the year.
Yeah.
He's said that, which is fine, should be.
But it's like the whole thing. It's like, what is a healthy Kevin Durant going to look like at this point, you know?
I'm trying to think, like, who are the top five teams in the East, man? I don't even know. Like, the Celtics, I thought were going to be worse this year.
Yeah, I thought they'd be pretty bad.
And they're 7-1.
Yeah.
Because Kemba Walker's really good.
I still love Kevin Walker, even if he is in the Celtics. That man won me some money for UConn.
Kemba Walker is extremely that dude, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably one of the best college players ever.
Yeah.
Like, his run, going to go to ESPN Power Rankings to help me out here, because this is just very hard to figure out, like, who's the best? Like, the Phoenix Suns are good this year. The Phoenix Suns have like a 6-4 record or something like that. 5-3. Because they have like, oh God. Okay, so the top three guys are Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Kelly Oubre Jr.
And then Aaron Baines is weirdly on this team. Ricky Rubio, Dario Saric. It's a weird team, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how much you've watched of the NBA.
I haven't watched any Western games this year.
I just noticed that the Suns were good when they played the Sixers, and I was like very confused. I mean, I still say the Sixers are the best team in the East, but I didn't want you to say it.
I know you wanted me to say it.
I didn't want you to say it.
No, you wanted me to say it. I just didn't say it. So
why would I want you to say that?
I mean, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Sixers.
Yeah.
10, 9, 8, 76ers.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they've lost their last three games anyway. Plus, Embiid got suspended. Then Ben Simmons might actually just be dead now.
Mm.
You heard about that?
No.
He had a shoulder problem.
Yikes.
You know what happened with the last guy that had a shoulder problem?
Johan Santana, what happened to him?
Oh, he died.
Oh, okay.
No, the last guy with the shoulder problem plays for the Orlando Magic now.
Ah.
AKA Markelle Fultz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the last guy with the shoulder problem on the Sixers. He's currently averaging 10 points a game.
So how is the Dan Worthen experience going for the 76ers, huh?
Fuck you. Oh, God, it's so bad. Tobias Harris looks good, though.
He's got a mean slider now. All right, on that note, I think...
we'll transition over to talking to Jarrett about AEW Full Gear / weirdly Don Cherry.
Yes. We'll get into that
in a minute.
Yeah.
It was weirdly something to do with Windows that it wouldn't allow it. Yeah. Yeah. God. So Will, it was good.
It was good. It was, I was just kind of, me and Jared were just talking for a little bit, but it's funny, and I think part of my take is that I'm officially like kind of the target audience of what AEW is looking for, which is sort of like 20, 30 something dudes that are that were into like the Stone Cold Rock era of WWE and aren't particularly following it, you know, aren't just following it so closely now, but can start watching this with a clean slate.
My favorite is like if you okay. So, arguably one of the most successful movies in the past, like, couple years in terms of, like, mainstream success is, like, Mad Max Fury Road, which I feel like is the exact same audience, in a way.
Okay.
And, like, I get people going, like, oh, well, times have changed. People love violence, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't do one of your four-hour specials.
I'm not doing a four-hour special. I don't have the round table for it.
Steve bailed on you?
Yeah, well, he thought it was going to be earlier in the day.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten enough jets yet. He needs some more.
That game is fucking, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have fucking Skylar texting me constantly, like, Sam Darnold looks great. And I'm like, are you watching the same fucking game?
Yeah.
Like, he looks like steamed horse shit, and the Giants might have the worst defense in the NFL anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. And meanwhile, Daniel Jones, not terrible.
I mean, he looks better than Sam Darnold, but, you know, such great heights.
Yeah.
He looks like an adequate second tier to third tier quarterback.
Congratulations on drafting the new Andy Dalton with the sixth overall pick.
Right.
if only we were so lucky.
Yeah, Andy fucking Dalton. Debating buying some Lucha masks.
Jared, can I get you in a Lucha mask? Is that a thing that's happening at the live event?
It's not actually a bad idea.
Actually, that would be...
Do a run-in on Jeffrey with a Lucha mask?
I'm debating wearing my Wawa holiday sweater.
I mean, why are you debating it?
I do have other... Because I also have the Israeli Olympic team spin rate hoodie.
Can't you wear both?
Not really.
I was going to say, it's cold. You can layer up. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I could wear both, but we'd only be able to see one of them.
Yeah.
I thought you had... Oh, okay. They're like pullovers?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could get one of those tailors that like makes those combined jerseys, you know, like those half and half jerseys, and then you wouldn't have to wear anything else again because you're basically just full brand all the time.
Yeah, I think I'd rather not do that, but yeah. it's a possibility. You never know.
I'm gonna wear my Fangraphs hoodie and my Baseball Prospectus shirt.
Oh God! I thought your Fangraphs hoodie is like permanently stained with vomit or something.
It wasn't permanently stained; it just got stained with vomit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's what happened after we parted ways that other night.
Yeah, that was exactly. Oh, Will, I never told you the end of that night. Okay, yeah.
I'll let my imagination do the rest.
Yeah, you're probably better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was the that was good. It was very good. I'm probably gonna go back now and watch some of the other matches, but the title match was really good.
Yeah, I would say you don't have to watch everything. We should probably just be recording this at this point.
Yeah,
I think we're probably gonna record like the beginning and then put you at the end.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so fuck, John Moxley is like—is he like a guy that they're like really going to be touting as like the face of AEW? Is that like kind of where they're going with this?
I assume so. Like, he's not the face. I mean, Cody's the face of AEW, right?
Yeah.
But like, that was actually a pretty big deal. Them getting Moxley over there.
Yeah.
Like, he actually did jump from WWE specifically to do this kind of stuff.
Right.
And did multiple interviews about how it was going to be great, how he had more creative freedom.
Yes. And if you go back and watch, like, the beginning of Jon Moxley's career, pre-Dean Ambrose, this was what he did.
And he was super hot.
Yeah, he was one of the hottest in the acts in... Yeah, this was like in a period where people actually gave a shit about CZW before the Deej days. I mean, people give a shit about CZW for other reasons now, but not good ones. Like, at one point, people cared about CZW a lot for the wrestling. And Moxley was kind of the second wave of that. And it was this kind of stuff. Like, this actually was the kind of stuff he did.
What are the odds we get a Nick Gage, John Moxley death match on AEW?
Is Nick Gage crossing over in AEW?
Not yet.
I am hoping.
It's not insane to think that he might. It's in the possibility spectrum. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think like
he's in the ball game?
Comes in, does an invader angle and leaves.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know.
You have to do that in the Philadelphia, New York area though. If you're running that, you run it in the area where Nick Gage will be a draw.
What, you run TV in the Asbury Park Convention Center and just like Nick Gage shows up?
Yes.
I mean, you could do it. You could do it.
That would totally work.
Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah.
You could do it.
And then you would pretty much, I mean, off that one reaction, it would be a fairly good way to make him not a star, but you know, it's highly doable.
Did I tell you about my Teddy Hart story from the AEW Philly taping?
No. Was he just walking around with his cat?
So, like, I was there with my friend Chris from the Bad Wrestling Podcast, and we've got like pretty decent seats. Like, have either of you ever been in the Lee Corus Center at in Philly?
I have.
Yes.
Not.
Well, okay. Yeah. So we were in like the first row of like where the bleachers start going up. So we had like pretty good seats, but like right in front of us was like an open area where people could walk around, right behind the floor seats. And this is like the first or second commercial break of the television show. All of a sudden, I just look over and Teddy Hart is walking around holding two cats in his gear, just walking around. And he just, I'm like, so when Teddy Hart's walking around in his gear at a wrestling show, you have to, you know, follow what's happening. So I just, you know, and he was just going up to his seat and he just fucking sat there for the rest of the show with his two cats and his wrestling gear in the crowd.
Two living cats. Like,
yes. Yes. No, like his actual cats.
Oh,
like
wow.
His cats, cats.
Yeah, like Will, did you cat. Not know that his cat does a moonsault?
No. I have, what?
Yeah, he's his cat does a moonsault, Will.
Yeah. So, and he was just like sitting there in like empty seats, and there were people, you know, like as he's walking around, like light Teddy Hart chants are starting, and people are going like, "Oh my God, it's Teddy Hart!" And Nick Gage is way more popular than Teddy Hart in this area, because you know. One of them's a convicted felon, and one of them's problematic. And
you're right,
you know, it's not the same guy. It's not the same guy. Oh god!
One had a heroin problem. The other one just has a problem.
Yeah. One of them has severe drug problems, and one of them just has severe problems.
But that could be said about a lot of people in the Philly, Jersey area, am I right?
One of them robbed a bank, and one of them should have went to jail.
One of them can't go back to Canada, I'm pretty sure.
And it's not the guy with the felony.
Yeah, actually, I feel like he might probably be able to go to Canada now. Not... Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
AEW, what did you think of the show, Liam, overall?
I fucking enjoyed the hell out of it. I don't know what people were saying about like it being like iffy. I really enjoyed it. Probably the only parts, I'm trying to think of like certain beats, because, you know, I was... There was a band perform in my neighborhood that everybody was going out for. So, like, I was watching that while also, like, getting ready to go out. I really enjoyed... So, I didn't like that Joey Janela lost, as you would think I would. I did like how they roped in Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford now. Because that's clearly just a GCW angle on AEW.
Yes. Well, it's not even an angle. Like, Penelope Ford actually did leave Joey Janela for Kip Sabian. Not for she actually left for another guy, then left the other guy for Kip Sabian. But close enough, right?
Yeah, close enough. Yeah. Let me run it down in like regular order. Britt Baker versus Bea Priestley sucked. That was like meh.
By the way, I was at the show. That's why I'm actually on this episode of this podcast. Like, you know, so I'll pop in with my live. Yeah, I mean, that was like kind of hot in the building, but it was like the WWE thing of like No Way Jose always gets the big pop in the first match at the house show because people are like, "Hey, I know him. It's No Way Jose."
God.
So Britt Baker is the No Way Jose of AEW, although No Way Jose is a much more talented worker.
I actually kind of enjoy No Way Jose.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Bea Priestley, former What Culture pro wrestling star, Bea Priestley, was just not great.
yeah, she's better than Britt Baker. This women's division needs some filling out. It's got some rough spots.
Well, at the end we had Awesome Kong come out, and that was awesome.
Yeah, so I really like Kong. Kong is really limited at this stage of her career, and I don't know where any of this is going, and the angle with Brandy just seems weird. Like, it seems too Dark Order-ish.
Yeah. I will say, I've recently watched all of GLOW, and it really made me appreciate Awesome Kong, because she's actually very good in that show.
Yeah.
Like, her acting is good. I was kind of impressed.
I should just watch that at some point, and I never have, and I don't really have a good reason other than I don't have time to watch TV anymore.
Life is what you make of it, Jarrett.
Yes, it is. I'm not busy at all.
You should have better time management like Liam, who just watches things out of spite entirely and takes up his free time with that. So,
and also never sleeps, as best as I can tell, based on the timestamps on messages I get from him.
That's true.
Never sleep.
Yeah.
I operate roughly on 4 hours to 5 hours of sleep every day.
Yeah, I try and get 7.
Okay, so the next match was Proud and Powerful versus the Young Bucks. Will, I think you saw LAX live?
I think so. Yeah.
Where did you see LAX live?
I'm trying to think. Didn't they perform at the show out in Queens?
I don't know about that.
Were they at Joey Janela's Spring Break out in Queens?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so, Liam.
Yeah, I don't think so. They're good. So there's a lot of weird New York indie influences on this.
Big Bronx energy.
There's an influential, I don't know if influential is the right word. There's an influential New York indie called Hog that the rapper Master P recently purchased, and both LAX and Private Party originated with Hog. They're now Proud and Powerful. They were LAX. Before that, they were EYFBO. And there's a lot of Hog energy on AEW. There's a lot of Hog energy, and there's a lot of GCW energy, and I'm here for both of them.
Wait, what does EYFBO stand for?
I have no recollection, but that was their tag team name.
I need to look this
back
up.
Back in the day.
Yeah,
by the way, on the way out of the show, Matt and I ran straight into, in the lobby, the different boy, Jimmy Lloyd.
Who have seen Jimmy Lloyd.
Yes.
Who was there in essentially his working attire. So he was in a GCW hoodie and track pants.
Right.
Which is what he works in. And Matt went, "Hey, Jimmy Lloyd!" And Jimmy Lloyd went, "Hey, Matt." And that was my Jimmy Lloyd story. I have now seen Jimmy Lloyd, he just pops up places. Like, I think Jimmy Lloyd's, this is going to sound really sad, but I think Jimmy Lloyd takes a lot of, the same vacations I do, because he pops up at, a lot of the same, wrestling shows I go to as, a fad in between having death matches on GCW shows.
Jarrett, I looked up what EYFBO stands for. It's Entertain Your Fucking Balls Off.
Excellent.
Nice.
I can't imagine why they switched to the name Proud and Powerful instead of Entertain Your Fucking Balls Off.
I would have stuck with the first one, to be honest.
Rolls off the tongue.
Did you appreciate the Yankee pinstripes?
I did.
It was extreme Bronx energy, out of both of them. I think one of them is from the Bronx.
I don't know that much about former LAX. These guys are working as faces, even though they're heels, and that's a little weird. They've been doing this on TV, too, but they have not been nearly as heelish as you'd think, other than the sneak attacks with the sock coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed them though.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very good team. I thought this was a very good match. I think I liked this match more than a lot of people did. I kind of got what they were going for more. I think a lot of people were expecting like a Young Bucks sprint match, and I didn't expect that, so I wasn't disappointed by not getting it.
I thought they were kind of going for like a literal Rock and Roll Express match.
I think that's all right. And God, there was a dude on my timeline complaining about the Rock and Roll Express part of this. Like, just go fucking watch NXT if that's your take.
Will, do you know who the Rock and Roll Express are?
I'm looking it up now.
They're like 80s tag team wrestler. They were
a Hall of Fame tag team from 30 years ago. They're very well remembered.
Yes.
And okay, it's Ortiz and Santana's like favorite tag team of all time, actually.
Right. So they actually wrestled each other on spring break this year. And what was a very, very good match.
Yeah, like, I think I remember I was listening to WOR today, and one of them asked, are they going to have a match on TV? And, like, I think it was Dave that kind of, like, downplayed it, like, oh, that wouldn't be that good. I think it would actually be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was like a 3.5-star match. And I saw, you know, I saw the Rock and Roll Express at both of the New Japan shows, you know, the Philly one and the New York one.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, they can still do a perfectly fine, you know, 10-12 minute match. It's not like they're incapable of it. I mean, look, you saw Ricky Morton out there did a springboard Canadian Destroyer and a tope. So, you know.
Will, for reference, Ricky Morton is, how old is he? He is
63 years old.
Yeah.
He's my father's age doing a Canadian Destroyer.
Not just a Canadian Destroyer, a springboard Canadian Destroyer from the apron into the ring.
Liam, hot take, but your dad could probably do a Canadian Destroyer, so.
He might be able to.
Yeah.
He's a strong man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it was fucking ridiculous. And then it was, I did not watch Hangman Adam Page versus Pac.
I did. It was fine to good.
It was like a stereotypical Adam Page match, I'm guessing.
Adam Page is good. He's good. He, you know. He's starting to remind me a lot of Seth freaking Rollins, Burn It Down.
Oh, God.
It which is that he typically has good matches, but rarely has great matches unless put in a specific spot by his opponent, and that was pretty much this.
But, like, he has it all there. It's just, I don't think he knows how to lay out a match, man.
That doesn't at all describe Seth freaking Rollins, Burn It Down.
I agree.
The man's man. The rebel with the cause.
God.
The beast slayer. The king slayer.
The man wife.
There are two people in the year 2019 that turned into wife guys exceedingly fast, and Seth Rollins was one of them, and I'm not going to say who the other one was.
Can you DM me who the other guy was?
I will indeed text it to you.
Hey.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going on to Joey Janela versus Sean Spears. That kind of was all right. I mean, I do love Blanchard running in, but, like, I just don't know what they're going to do with the 10 guy.
Was I wrong, by the way?
No, you weren't.
Anyway, the 10 guy. Look, I mean, if there's a specific thing they're doing with the 10 guy, fine, whatever. So, I will do the WWE fans' favorite saying. Let's wait and see.
But, like, like, if you have Blanchard with him, you're not gonna help him out much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where this is going. It seemed like they were building a Joey Janela Kip Sabian thing afterwards, which, you know, if that's the level that Joey Janela is going to be slotted at, does he really need a win over the 10 guy? No. Then again, I'm not sure, coming off of the Moxley stuff and the Omega stuff, that they really needed to slot Joey Janela at the 10 guy in Kip Sabian.
Joey Janela has had at least one 5-star match?
I didn't. Which one are you referring to?
I'm referring to the one that Jeffrey saw at the House of Pierogies.
Oh, with Zack Sabre Jr.? Yeah, that was really great. I don't know whether that was a 5-star match, but, you know, that was. He's had a lot of really great matches, and he's really motivated, and he's a pretty compelling character, and he's also kind of over. And he's doing a job to the 10 guy and getting in a feud with Kip Sabian. And I just think there's better utilizations of him than that.
I mean, from what I can tell, though, like, they're willing to at least go with him if he continues to get over.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, none of this is, you know, he lost by interference to the 10 guy. It happens. Yeah,
they're not burying him.
Right.
Oh, by the way, there is a Irish song called Don't Forget Your Shovel If You Want to Go to Work, and it should be Tone Triple H's theme song. I will have Will play insert it somewhere at one point. Sorry, Will.
No.
That was the tag match. I didn't see all of that. I just saw the end. I saw the post match angle.
Phoenix did some really cool stuff, and the ending came out of nowhere, and I didn't really like the post-match angle that much. And, like, my God, Phoenix should just be, like, in the world title mix as a single, and so should the Pentagon. And
You didn't like the post-match angle? I enjoyed it.
It just felt like this feud must continue.
I understand that.
Yeah, like, it was very. Why was Pentagon standing there doing like there's an imposter Pentagon in the ring? Essentially, this promotion has already done the imposter Pentagon thing, and because, you know, Jericho did it at All In, and functionally All In's the first AEW show. So they do it again, and the guy again stands there and starts posing with the dude and doesn't realize. What do you think Imposter Pentagon is? It's either Chris, if you're Pentagon, like, in-universe, it's either a fan jumping into the ring or somebody came in to attack you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't like it when wrestlers look exceedingly stupid for no reason, and this made Pentagon look exceedingly stupid.
Mm. What do you think of the rehab match?
I thought it was very good.
It was very entertaining.
Yeah, it was better than. It wasn't about the level of the Shida match from All Out, but it was more over, I thought. So mm-hmm. It kind of came across better. Riho's very good. Emi Sakura is very good. Neither of these is, you know. Listen, they've wrestled 900 gazillion times, too.
Should AEW have just bought Stardom? Just said fuck it and bought Stardom?
I don't think Stardom would have sold to them.
I know. They were kind of already in business relationships with the.
Right. I mean, there's certainly rumors going around that the WWE offer for Stardom was much bigger than the Japan offer for Stardom, and it was turned down because, you know, Rossi wanted to continue being Rossi and wanted to do it within the context of Japanese wrestling. Yeah. So AEW didn't want to buy Stardom, or if they did, Stardom wanted to sell to New Japan specifically.
Did you see the great Muta in the arena? Did you see him walking around?
No, I just saw him, you know, when they showed him on the big screen.
The Great Muta is always one of those people that, like, I know he's, like, fairly well known. I just haven't seen any of like his awesome matches.
Yeah, I mean, they were the heyday of Muda would have been what, 89 to like 96, 97. So yeah, I mean, pretty much all pretty dated too. A lot of it's on New Japan World if you ever want to go back and watch it.
I know the Muda scale. I know of the Muda scale.
Yeah, so, God, that was 92, I think. And I think it was... I'm just going to Google this quickly because I don't remember. I think it was against Hashimoto, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I mean, he had like one of the bloodiest matches of all time. It was not against Hashimoto; it was against Hiroshi Hase.
Oh God, this is crazy.
Yeah, is now a high-ranking Japanese politician, which is interesting.
There's a lot of weird crossover in politics and wrestling in Japan.
Yeah, just in Japan.
Jarrett.
Jarrett. I mean, just the Japan? Really?
Jarrett.
You really want to go there? Yeah, it's really weirder in Japan than here.
Yeah, you know what? I would actually say yes in context. Yes.
Okay. I had people on a political site I read that wanted Kane to run for the United States Senate from Tennessee recently.
Why do you read that political site?
Because I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Anyway. Oh, my God. What? Okay. So, like, okay. We're getting into this now. Okay. Jesse Ventura ran in fucking Minnesota. That doesn't count.
Yeah. You know who the president is, right?
Yes, I know who he is, but he got onto wrestling because he was who he was.
You know who's running the fundraising for his re-election campaign and was
producing? Yes, I do know.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, just, you know, throwing that out there.
Also, happy belated MAGA Day.
Yeah.
And happy belated birthday, because, you know, you were born on MAGA Day, so congratulations, Liam.
Fuck you, Will.
I just had to.
What is MAGA Day?
It's the day Trump got elected.
Oh, so you wait? Your birthday was the day Trump got elected?
We've been over this, Jarrett. And your probably. Birthday was inauguration day.
My birthday is indeed inauguration day.
God, it was on a podcast that we did that we went over this.
Yeah, but the podcast was like 4 hours long, so I don't actually remember these things. I'm old, man. My memory's starting to go.
Who are you?
What's that?
Who are you?
I said I'm old. My memory is starting to go.
I know. I said,
oh, old. Ha ha ha.
I just want to as briefly update you guys. The NHL just put out a statement saying that they do not condone John Terry's statements about immigrants.
What about all the shit he said for the last 35 years, right? Constantly?
Also, like his comments on immigrants were not even, like, nearly the worst things he's ever said.
No.
So you're surprised that Don Cherry made comments about immigrants. Don Cherry used to own an OHL team, and every fucking year he would trade his picks in the import draft because he only wanted good Canadian boys playing, and you're surprised he's racist.
Every broadcast that he is on, he talks about good Canadian boys.
Right. Like, I found an article and I put it on my Twitter, and I had a conversation with Susan Slusser of one of the Bay Area papers. So it was the president of the BBWAA and so forth. And she pointed out that he's actually said much worse stuff than this, which is 100% correct. They put him on a time delay in 2004. 2004! So they could dump it if he started doing racisms again on air.
Jesus Christ.
2004!
Well, okay. So I will say this. Like, Don Cherry's gonna be Don Cherry. He's like your weird racist uncle.
Yes.
It's not... Like, I understand. He is who he is. Like, you're not really gonna change him. He's 85 years old. Like, he's just like...
Of course he is, but he also, you don't need to give him, like, a forum.
No, that's what I'm saying. On a national broadcast. Right? That's the point.
You shouldn't be outraged he said this thing. You should be outraged they still had him on the fucking air in the first place.
Yeah. Like,
fucking. And now they're going to tut-tut, and the NHL's going to tut-tut, and the CBC's going to tut-tut, and a bunch of politicians are going to tut-tut, and the dude's going to end up getting fired, but he should have been fired a gazillion years ago over this shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I went on Don Cherry's Wikipedia. In 1989, he referred to Finnish-born Winnipeg Jets assistant Alpo Sahonen as, quote, some kind of dog food.
Yeah.
Like, fucking... Oh, he was, like, extremely for the Iraq War, too.
Oh, yeah! Man. He talked about running for Prime Minister of Canada once, and nobody could figure out whether he was serious or not.
He placed the chain of office around incoming Mayor Rob Ford's neck.
And you're surprised the guy did a racism, and you're going, wow, we're going to have to address that with him. The entire fucking reason he's on your show and is popular is because the old white people in Canada that watch Hockey Night in Canada want this dude to do racism.
Right. Jerry, the first line of the NHL statement is hockey is at best when it brings people together. And yet, like, it seems like time and time again, like, hockey has brought people together when they're all in disagreement that Don Cherry should have been off the air many, many years ago.
There are aspects to Don Cherry that I've enjoyed ironically. The suits are funny.
Yeah.
I watched Don Cherry's hockey fight VHSs 25 years ago when I was a kid, like everybody else in the world did.
Yeah, and like, then that became problematic because you realize that all these guys are just like losing their brain cells in this in the process of this endeavor, so.
Right, like, he often says ridiculous stuff that is funny ridiculous and not racist ridiculous or sexist
Cherry
ridiculous.
Cherry was asked to say a few remarks. He opened by stating, quote, I'm wearing pink for all the pinkos out there that ride bicycles and everything. I thought I'd get it in.
Right, but the thing that Susan sent me was him recently, within the last couple of years, arguing vociferously that women should be banned from men's locker rooms. Like, women journalists should not have access to interview players.
Yeah.
Recently.
Oh, Cherry has been criticized for comments targeting specific ethnicities, such as French Canadians and Europeans, and this has led to, that's what led to the 7-second delay. This is all easily Googleable.
In 2013, I don't feel women are equal. I feel they're above us. I think they're on a pedestal, and they should not be walking in when naked guys are walking in, and you know some guys take advantage of it. The problem to him with guys taking advantage of women is the women and not the guys taking advantage of them.
Again, he's an 85-year-old dude. I can expect that out of an 85-year-old nationalistic Canadian. But do you really have to fucking put him on TV?
Yeah. Because, you know, Canadian hockey culture's never had problems with racism and sexism in general before either.
Never.
We, so the Cody Chris Jericho match.
Yeah. So far off.
Oh, God.
I really enjoyed this match.
I did too. I thought this was great. I think Cody should probably stop doing really stupid stuff, but he's not going to.
Like diving onto diamond plates?
Yeah, that was like way more dangerous than anything in the Omega Moxley match. I guess he's okay.
Was that hard? Like Jeffrey was trying to tell me that was like he had a blade in his thing.
There's no way he would have bladed himself like that.
No,
Jeffrey was drunk when he was watching the show.
Yeah, this is true. we have the Discord to prove it.
Yeah. You know, it was really good. I did not love the finish. Okay, So in a individual match finish context, in the context of kicking off the Cody MJF angle, which they've been building to for a year and a half, it was a very good finish.
Well, you remember MJF, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But doing the finish, I don't think that finish in the way they did it was strong enough to bring Cody back for the title later without it seeming like a lame breaking of the stipulation. And I assume they're going to do that, and it's going to annoy me when they do that, unless the angle is really strong. And the idea that MJF screwed him, but did he really even screw him because he was in a situation like the context of that finish was that he wasn't getting out and ref probably would have stopped it anyway. So, and I also don't know that they've, me as a fan, I understand the context of the Lion Tamer and, Chris Jericho having this, version of his finish that people don't get out of, but I don't, they haven't built that finish up that way. They've built the Judas effect up that way. If Jericho had, been repeatedly hitting an unconscious Cody with Judas effects and the towel came in there, it would have been, a more interesting finish. But, it was fine. I kind of want to see where they go with the angle because I think that matters a lot. I honestly would have just belted Cody here. And if you want to do the MJF turn, the MJF program can be for the title.
My problem with it is, where do you go with the Inner Circle from here?
I mean, they're going to do some kind of War Games match with the Elite, and, I assume Moxley is the next big title contender.
So I'm guessing since MJF turned, they're definitely getting over either Flip Gordon or Marty Scurll.
I think one or both of those is pretty likely anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, for the War Games match, you wouldn't...
You could do 5-on-5. Considering that Hager beat up MJF, and MJF, the Inner Circle didn't come down to, celebrate with MJF, I don't think MJF is allied with the Inner Circle. I think he just went heel on his own.
I was just saying, who would the 5-on-5 be? Cody, the Young Bucks,
Paige, and Omega.
That's 5. I can't count. Right, yeah.
The absolute best part of this is MJF goes up the ramp and is going very slowly, and a dude in the last row, midway back, so 10 seats back in the last, just absolutely fucking pelts him with a drink right in the head.
It was pretty impressive.
And MJF, it was so perfect, I assume the guy had to have been a plant, except then, security, came out, security, bum-rushed him, beat the shit out of him, and dragged him out. So I'm pretty sure it actually wasn't a plant.
Wow.
Also, he didn't look that upset about it.
I think he realized it was perfect for what happened. You can't encourage that, but it was in some ways kind of perfect.
I have seen MJF actively encourage that in wrestling matches.
So this is another Spring Break Night 2 story. Have I ever told you the MJF story?
No.
So we get to Spring Break Night 2 from this past year. We got there a little bit after the first match went on because the ROH show went an hour and a half later than it was supposed
to. I am still very glad that I did not go to that.
Don't even get me started. But we, rush over there. We, barely make the PATH train. It's, 12:30 a.m., so it would take it forever to get an Uber, so we just walked. And we get there, a little bit after the show started. And then you guys obviously know how GCW assigned seats. They just, you don't have a ticket number most of the time. They just, put your name on a seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it takes us a little while to figure out where we're sitting. Actually, my friend Dirk told us, told us where we were sitting, the general area, so we could look a little bit closer. And it's, second row. And there's a guy right behind me sitting there looking really steamed off. And if you don't know me, I am 6'4", so I can block people at shows, right? Sure. So there's a guy behind me that's like looking steamed off, and I'm like, you know, he's all right if I'm standing there. I don't want to block your way. And he just like gives me like a death glare. And I should also be saying that he was wearing a mask. And it turned out that for the entire show, MJF was sitting right behind me wearing a mask so he could sneak attack Spider Nate Webb.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So he's sitting there the entire show and he doesn't want to talk because if he talks, just like a fantastic worker. Because if he says anything, he's, you know, even like, yeah, man, it's cool. Like, people are going to realize it's MJF.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he just sits there glaring through his mask.
That's amazing.
We'll also point out that Joey Janela just posted a photo of him with a White Claw standing next to Matt Burns / Nick Mondo and John Moxley.
Yeah. That's,
What do you call that? Is that what the kids call mood?
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Yeah. And just to confirm, it is a black cherry claw.
Yes, the best claw.
It is the best. It's hands down the best claw.
It is the best. That was not sarcastic. It is the best claw.
I'm a guy myself.
You've never drank a claw, Will?
No, I'm a lime guy myself, but...
You're a lime guy?
Yeah. Psychopath.
You're the only lime guy I've ever met. All right, so yeah, the Cody Jericho match was very good, and then we are moving into the Lights Out match.
They had a fucking death match, man.
It was fucking Will. Okay, so I feel like Will, you're the least experienced death match watcher out of us. You have been to
GCW shows, yeah.
You were at Tournament of Survival, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you've been to a couple of them, and I would also say your personality is not one that would be averse to death matches.
I mean, sure.
Right, you're not like so there's dudes that were out there like, you know, going like, ooh, too violent, blood, blah, blah. You're not one of those guys. We just want to make that clear.
Right. But I had the experience of like going to a GCW show as a buffer. So I didn't like watch that and like was any bit like shocked by anything.
You saw one of the two times this summer G Raver almost killed himself in a death match.
Yeah, how's he doing, by the way? Is
he's pretty roughed up, but not from that one. He was fine from that one. He then came back and in Chicago in September almost bled out, cutting himself on a light tube.
Oh, this is the one where they raised the money for him, right?
Or like, yes. So that one, I mean, he may not be coming back from that.
Oh, God.
He probably shouldn't.
Yeah, because that was really scary. I thought the dude was dead. I really thought the dude was dead. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, you're not, you know, you've seen enough schlack matches to.
Yeah, sure.
I thought this was one of the best death matches I've ever seen. I thought it was one of the best matches of the year. But I have also been going to death match shows since I was 16, so.
What is the best death match you've ever seen?
It might have been this one. Nick Gage versus Matt Tremont 2 years ago at Tournament of Survival.
I was sitting next to you for that one. That was very good.
Yeah, that was up there. I mean, you can go back and do like some of like the 90s stuff with like Cactus Jack and Terry Funk and Onita. I would have to actually go back and figure out like what the best of that stuff was because I haven't seen any of it in a gazillion years.
What was your favorite spot within the death match?
I thought the most spectacular spot was the V trigger through the light. I thought my favorite spot was Moxley having his crawl through broken glass to break the sharpshooter.
Yeah, that was a really good spot.
I thought that And I also, because immediately one of my friends that I was with was like, there's no rope breaks in a death match. And then he realized they weren't doing a rope break. Moxley was crawling up the ropes to break the hold.
Yeah.
Which was like a very nice touch to like right. remember to do that.
This was an extraordinarily well thought out, well worked match. A lot of times in death matches, even really good death matches, the actual quality of the work isn't that good. I'm sorry, Jimmy Lloyd, but your shit isn't very good most of the time. You're a very good death match guy, but like when you start to like some of your moves are sloppy.
All of his moves are sloppy.
Right. Like, you know, Matt Tremont's an awesome deathmatch guy. Some of the stuff in between the deathmatch spots isn't too good, right?
That's what makes Nick Gage so good, is because correct. all of his moves look good.
Correct, but the athletic ability of these two guys versus Nick Gage is not in the same galaxy.
No. Jimmy Lloyd is what they would call a bad body.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a different but play.
Even Nick Gage. So, like, you have the crazy deathmatch spots, but, like, no guys that are routinely working death matches could do, like, that neat, that, like, V-trigger through the light spot. Like, they botched the spot.
Yeah.
That spot looked fantastic.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is Nick Gage is no longer the best deathmatch wrestler in the world?
No, the best, I mean, listen, the second Jon Moxley left WWE and was out there working death matches again, Nick Gage was no longer the best deathmatch wrestler in the world.
So Jon Moxley is no longer the best deathmatch wrestler in the world. It's
no,
clearly
Kenny Omega is. Yeah. No, Kenny Omega is.
I need Kenny Omega at Tournament of Survival, man.
So, I don't think if this happens, it will be a death match for a variety of reasons. But there's been an awful lot of subtle and a few not so subtle teases for Nick Gage and Will Ospreay at Spring Break.
It'd be so good.
Oh my
Would
God.
Will Ospreay be a better death match wrestler than Kenny Omega?
No, I actually don't think so.
No.
Okay. Partially because I think Kenny Omega is much better at getting those moments and death matches are defined not off of pacing, but the moments.
So I obviously didn't see the commentary, but
the commentary sold it very well. Like, Jim Ross was like not a frumpy old man about it.
There was one specific thing that I heard that was brought up in the commentary, but I don't know exactly. They at least were discussing the fact that Omega lost the match because he went for Ibushi's move, right?
Yes.
So that has to be happening, right? This is all giant work, right?
I don't know, man. He signed to a lifetime contract.
Yeah, right? But they're it makes too much sense for them not to work together in some form. And even if the form is just Omega going over there and working one of the Tokyo domes, or even if it's just Ibushi coming in and wrestling three times a year, like, it doesn't make sense for this not to happen at some point. They're hitting this too hard now, too.
Dude, they just tried to ban Kenny Omega from Japan.
Listen, I know Dave reported that, and I know Omega tweeted it. That doesn't mean that it wasn't a hard work. You know what I mean?
So you think Dave Meltzer's a worker?
Dave Meltzer's one of the best workers in wrestling, but I also think Dave does get worked sometimes. And listen, Kenny's worked Dave before. Kenny worked Dave on contract negotiations twice. So I just, like, the idea, they're teasing Omega Ibushi stuff way too hard to not be delivering on it at some form, at some point. So that's, you know, like, I mean, they put it on their television. They put that fucking weird-ass video on their television 2 weeks ago.
Oh, the Sans Undertale one?
Right, which had fucking Ibushi holding the G1 trophy in it. And the fucking lion mark.
Yeah, it had the lion mark.
Right.
I actually thought the Sans Undertale video was really good. Not everybody thought that, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, as pretentious Kenny Omega shit goes, it was great. Like, listen, you're going to get what you're going to get from Kenny Omega. And part of what you're going to get is the same... Ibushi is like this, too. Like, Ibushi took a period where he went for 6 months and mostly wrestled garbage matches and shot fireworks out of his crotch and did moonsaults off of cars and all kinds of weird shit. Like, Kenny wants to work this style occasionally. It's just something he wants to do. Just like he wants to go over to Japan and work intergender comedy matches occasionally, which he also did recently. He wants to wrestle 9-year-old girls sometimes. Like, these are just things that Kenny Omega wants to do. He wants to make weird videos subtweeting his former friends. Don't we all?
Jared, do that on a daily basis?
I can't make videos about it. And if I did, I couldn't publish them. But you're goddamn right, if I could, I would. If I could put videos subtweeting my former friends on national television and not get in trouble for it, I would do that.
Jared, we're going to make it happen.
I mean, this is literally the podcast where we could make that. If you were going to do it anywhere, this would be the form to do it.
But
it literally is.
I'm really interested. What did you, like, make of this in general, Will? Like, did this make you any more or less likely to watch Kenny Omega or Jon Moxley or AEW in the future?
Oh, no, I'm going to make a concerted effort to watch this stuff in the future just because, like, immediately, I'm familiar with Kenny Omega. Like, I've watched some of the New Japan stuff, but, like, this is way more enticing for me to watch than Roman Reigns is. You know, like, I'm immediately hooked, whereas, like, I don't need to be sold and, like, you know, I don't need to be caught up with hours of, like, back information and backstory to just, like, enjoy the match. Like, I just sat there and enjoyed the match.
This was an incredibly compelling match.
Yeah.
Just in a vacuum.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, ultimately, that just is what sold it to me, you know?
Right.
Like, I did love that they brought in the, Jared, I'm not sure if you caught it at the show, but the glass that Kenny used was the glass from the table.
It was all crunched up and
it was a really nice beat. There were just, like, several parts of this where I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But, like, even if you didn't have that context, the commentary will...
Yeah, the commentary, so, like, at least took care of that for me, because I didn't obviously watch the precursor to that, so...
Like, Jim Ross has been noticeably better than his New Japan tenure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can guess as to why that would be, but...
Right. Yeah. Jim Ross is fine. Well, I will...
We'll let you go to Costco.
And yes. I'll need some time to edit out some of the more problematic parts of our side conversations, of course.
All right, me this time. It wasn't me.
Some of it was you.
By happenstance, it was you, Liam. Don't worry.
By happenstance.
It was you and Jason.
Oh, God.
God. All right, I got to run.
All right, thanks, Jared.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, thanks, Jared.
See ya.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.